Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, talks about a place called hell. In Matthew 25:46, it's called everlasting punishment. In Matthew 25:41, it's called everlasting fire. In Matthew 13:42-50, it's called the furnace of fire. In Revelation 14:10, it's called fire and brimstone. In Matthew 3:12, it's called unquenchable fire. In Isaiah 33:14, it's called a devouring fire. In Isaiah 33:14, it says that punishment is eternal and it's everlasting. I like to preach. I enjoy preaching. I really do. I'm not a real outgoing person. If you knew me personally, you know that. I'm not really a person to show up to the party or something. You know, I'm not really that kind of person. But the Lord called me to preach, and He put that in my heart. And I like to preach. I really do. If I go places and they say, anybody here want to preach, I'll jump up. I will jump up. I like to preach. I enjoy preaching here. I don't enjoy planning services. I don't enjoy planning meetings. I don't enjoy things like that. But I like to preach. The Lord has put that in my heart. I like to preach. The subject I'm about to preach is something I don't like to preach. And I probably don't preach on it enough. I really don't like to preach it. So I want you to pray for me as I try to help you and your family to understand hell. I don't like to do that. It's not an enjoyable sermon to talk about hell. And some people, I had a fellow say to me one time, Pastor, don't you think it's better to preach positive things and avoid the negative? Well, preaching about hellfire and damnation is too negative, they say. But I've got news for you. It is a positive warning. It's a warning. Don't you think it's positive when somebody tries to warn you of coming destruction? It is positive. And so I want to ask you today, this is the question I want you to think about the whole time. Is there a hell? Is there a hell? That's the question I want you to think about today. And I wish it wasn't true. I don't like to preach on hell. I don't like it. I don't like to preach on it because if it is true, and I believe it is, there's some of my family and friends already went to hell. And there's some going unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't like to talk about that. I don't like to talk to them about that. I don't like to talk to you about that. And I don't even like to think about that, that somebody I love would burn forever and ever and ever and ever. And I wish I didn't have to believe it. I wish I didn't have to believe in hell. I wish that it wasn't even in the Bible. But it is. And it's true. And because sometimes I have to try to comfort people at a funeral who their loved ones have died and went to hell, and they know it as well as I do, and yet I have to preach that sermon and comfort those people who are still here. I can't help the one that went to hell, but I try to comfort the ones that are still here. And I don't like to preach about hell because when I believe in hell and I preach about hell, when I preach that funeral, I've got to find some comforting words for people who know there's no hope for the one that's gone. And I've got to find comforting words, and I don't like to do funerals like that. I wish it wasn't true, but you and I, we know it's true. And the Bible says where there's weeping and wailing and torment, gnashing of teeth. If it isn't true, then we wouldn't preach. We wouldn't teach. We wouldn't give. We wouldn't live. We wouldn't sacrifice. We wouldn't attend church. We wouldn't go to Sunday school. We wouldn't have revival meetings if there was no hell. And by the way, that's a good sign when churches quit all that. They don't believe in hell anymore. But because it is true, we do go. We do witness. We do try to live right. We do keep short accounts with God. We try to be good to people. We try to do unto others as we'd have them do unto you, because there is a hell. And we give so other people can go. And there can be missions. And there can be people that print Bibles and print gospel tracts. And we try to crucify our desires. And we try to crucify our wants so that other people can be saved. I know you're glad somebody did that for you. I mean, the Bible says more about hell than it does about heaven. Jesus mentioned more about hell than He did about heaven. He preached about hell, and He gave examples of people in hell. And Jesus died so we wouldn't have to go to hell. Now, a lot of people think they got saved to be saved from marital problems, or they got saved to be saved from financial problems, or they got saved to be saved from addictions, or whatever the case may be that's holding them down in their life. But I've got news for you. You got saved because you didn't want to go to hell, and all that other stuff is a benefit of not going to hell, see? He will solve your marriage. He will solve your finances. He will heal your body. He will do things for you after you get saved, because now you're not going to hell. He can do that for you, see. But you didn't get saved from the circumstances. You got saved from an everlasting fire. That's what you got saved from. And if you called on the Lord for any other reason, you might not be saved. Because, see, we go to Him to escape hell. That's what we go for. He's my fire escape from hell. That's what He is. And He's promised to keep me and present me faultless before His presence. Now, that's what I went to Him for. Now, later on, He did fix things in my life. And later on, I got a lot of blessings. I still get them every day. But, Brother Bill, that's not why I got saved. That's not why you got saved. I've heard your testimony. We were afraid of going to hell. Amen? And if the Bible has it, we got to preach it. And if the Bible has it, we've got to teach it. And if the Bible has it, we have to share it with our family. And if the Bible has it, it's got to be true. Because if that's not true, none of it's true. Let's fold the book up, quit paying rent on the buildings, quit sending money to missionaries, and just go home. Because you have nothing but a social club if there is no hell. Now, Jesus pointed out some things about hell. Look at Luke 16 real quick. In Luke 16. Now, Jesus believed in hell. You say, well, I don't preach doctrine. I just preach Jesus. Well, Jesus preached about hell more than He did heaven. In Luke 16, let me get over there myself. He gave a good example of a man in hell in Luke 16. He says there was a certain man. A certain man. That means that man really lived. He really existed. He had a name. He had a family. In verse 19, he says, I'm in the wrong chapter. In Luke 16, look at verse 19. There was a rich man. There was a man. And he even gave the kind of clothes the man wore. Gave a lot of detail about the man. Because he wanted you to know this is real. This is not a parable. This is not something I just made up to scare you. This is real. There was really a man that really lived, that really rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and he really died and went to hell, and he's really still there right now praying for me and you not to come there. He's real. There's some things about hell we need to look at. And so we won't forget. Now look, I like to preach about God blessing us, and I like to preach about heaven, and boy, I like to preach about, I used to do children's church, you know, and I'd do all kinds of stuff to get the kids' attention like the preacher did Wednesday night when he was here, you know, and I'd set stuff on fire and tear stuff up and everything else. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to keep their attention, and I wanted to teach them the Bible. Well, I taught those little children about hell. And I saw them get saved. And I saw their lives change. Little children. So surely if a little child can believe that, an adult can believe it. Amen? Look at Luke 16. He says that in verse 23, look at it. Now here's the real thing that's really happening. He said in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. In torments. Did you know that hell is a place of torments? Now that word is plural. It's not singular. It's a place of torments. That means it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it's never ending, and it's never stopping, and it's a place of torment, bodily hurt, over and over and over. And then I want you to look at verse 24. In verse 24, he said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Just the tip of his finger. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame. Now, one of the things he's tormented by is flames. There's fire in hell. And I don't care what any theologian says or any of these modern day little preachers say, there's fire in hell. Hell is a place of fire, and it's a place of torments, and the flames never die, and they never go out. You say, that's impossible. Well, the sun never goes out. Amen. Ain't nobody giving it firewood. Amen. It's a place of fire, and that is only one of the torments of hell, and they'll burn forever and ever and ever. And I don't know if you've ever been burnt before, but it is not a pleasant feeling. And boy, if you'll talk to somebody that's been burnt over their whole body, they'll tell you about hell. They'll say, man, I don't want to go to hell. Not if it's like that. And that's a torment. The flames are real. It's not, and you'll hear some preacher that doesn't want you to leave his church or give up the money you bring in, and he'll kind of tone that down a little bit, and he'll say, well, that don't really mean fire. Well, it does, or it wouldn't say fire, amen? It means fire. It means what it says, amen? And it means flames, and it means torment. I heard one preacher say, well, the torment is separation from God. No, the torment is flames, amen? And I heard another preacher say, well, outer darkness. Hey, you can't have darkness and have flames. Yes, you can. There was light. Go back and read creation. There was light before God created the sun because God made it that way. Amen? Just because there's flames don't mean there's light. God made it that way. It's outer darkness. It's darkness, but it's flames. And it's real flames. And you really are tormented. And then the Seventh-day Adventists say, well, no, when you die, then they're going to put you in the grave, and you're going to sleep until Judgment Day, and they're going to raise you up, and God's going to judge you, and He's going to cast you into the fire, and you're going to burn up. No, it doesn't say that. It's eternal flames. It's forever. That means it's never ending. And all through eternity, it's torment. It's a place of flames. And then I want you to notice 24 again. Look at verse 24. He cried, have mercy on me. He was in torment. Hey, he was being tormented, so therefore he cried. It hurt. It was painful. He cried. Look, we need to get back to this stuff and remember that there's eternal torment and flames in hell, and our loved ones, you don't want to see them cry now. You better not send them to hell. I hate to see my children cry. I always have. When they cry, I cry. I remember I'd whip my children. They'd cry, I'd cry too while I was whipping them. I know some of y'all never did that because you was whipping them while you was mad at them instead of while you was trying to help them. And look, I hate to see my kids. I hate to see my grandkids cry. That's why we spoil our grandkids. We don't want to see them cry. Well, let me tell you something. If they die and go to hell, they'll cry. And they'll cry forever and ever and ever and ever, and there'll be no release, and it's torment day and night, and flames, and crying, and hurting, and pain forever and ever and ever. Well, I remember when my kids were little, they'd get hurt. I'd think, Lord, I wish I could have got hurt in place of them. And they'd cry, and I'd say, Lord, I wish that was making me cry instead of them cry, because I didn't want to see them cry. And boy, my mama, I remember when I got saved, my mama had been sick, and I called her, and she was just in her 70s. Well, it wasn't even that. Yeah, I guess she was in her 70s. And I called her, and I said, Mama, I got saved today. I just wanted you to know I got saved. And she started crying. And I said, Mama, what's wrong? Mama, are you sick? If you're sick, I'll get down there. It won't take me 30 minutes to get there. I'll get down there, Mama. I'll help you. What'd you? She said, no, I'm not crying because I'm sick. I'm crying because I'm happy. Amen. Amen. I didn't want to see my mama cry. I remember when I was young, Mama, I'd upset my mama, and I'd do things I wasn't supposed to do. And she'd get to fuss, and she'd start crying. I said, Mama, don't fuss and cry. Just hit me. Hit me, Mama. Whip me. Don't fuss and cry. I can't stand to see the crying and the fussing. Just hit me, Mama. Take that fly swatter over there and give me a beating. Take that stick and don't cry, Mama. Don't cry. And boy, wouldn't it be something to have your mama die and go to hell forever and ever and cry forever? Wouldn't it be something to have one of your little children die and go to hell and suffer and cry forever? You say, God wouldn't send my children to hell. If they're old enough to know right from wrong, they're old enough to be saved. He that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him is sin, James says. Hey, if they're old enough to know they need a Savior, they better run to the Savior because they're going to be judged by that. And some people say, well, it's 12 years old. Well, I've known people get saved at 6 years old. I mean, really saved. Now, I've known some that really didn't. They just went down. But I've known some people that really got saved at 6, 8, 10, 12 years old. And I'm going to tell you something. If you wait till they're teenagers, it's going to take a whole lot more to get them saved. better get them saved when they're young. That's why the Bible says raise them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. It didn't say wait till they got old and then do it. It said raise them up that way, and they'll not depart from it. It's a place of torments. It's a place of flames. It's a place of crying. But I'm going to surprise you. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. All of a sudden he got a good concern about his brothers. He hadn't ever give a hoot about his brothers before going to hell, but now he's in hell, and guess what he's doing? He's praying. He's praying, but it's too late now. It's too late. He said, no, I'm not going to send them. He said, they've got the word of God, Abraham and the prophets, that's the word of God. He said, they've got the word of God just like you had it. If they won't believe that, they won't believe if somebody rose up out of hell and went and told them about hell. And by the way, you wouldn't. You'd say they were insane. You'd say they were crazy. He said they wouldn't believe that if Lazarus got up out of the grave, went up there and told him he went to hell. They wouldn't believe that. I wouldn't either. You wouldn't either. He said they've got the word of God. Let them believe it. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why you want to get people under the sound of the word of God. Look, it's not me. It's not some preacher. It's not some teacher. It's the Bible that they're quoting and explaining. That's what convicts people of their sins. That's what converts the saved. That's what converts the sinner. That's what comforts the saved, is the word of God. Now, there's a lot of people, they just get up and talk. Don't nothing happen. Nobody gets convicted. Nobody gets converted. Nobody gets comforted because they didn't use the Word of God. See, it's the Word of God. I'm not telling you there's a hell because I think so. I don't even like to talk about it. I'm telling you there's a hell because the Bible says so, the Word of God. Amen? And look, once you get to hell, there ain't going to be no getting out. You can pray all you want to. It's not happening. Now, there's prayer in hell. But did you know they're not praying to get out because they know they rejected the Word of God and now they can't get out? But they're praying for others. They're praying for me and you. They're praying for their loved ones. They're praying for their friends. Right now, God sent somebody over there to give them the Word of God that they won't come to this awful place. Nobody wants you in hell. Some of you have told people to go there. But if you ever been there, you wouldn't have told them that. You ain't ever been to hell. If you'd have been, you wouldn't have told anybody else to go. You'd have been begging them not to go. Amen? Nobody wants anybody to go to hell. Not for real. Now, you can talk tough all you want to, but go to hell and then tell me that. Amen? Here's a man didn't believe. Here's a man didn't believe the Bible. And now he's begging and he's praying for God to go tell his brothers. There's prayer in hell. Now, you may not pray now, but I guarantee you, there's coming a day you're going to pray. There's coming a day you're going to seek the face of God. If you're saved, you'll see it. You won't have to pray. But if you're not saved, you're going to be begging and praying that God would help you. I said hell's real. It's a place of flames. It's a place of torment. It's a place of crying. It's a place of prayer. And then look at verse 30. In verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Did you know that this man right here just made a profession of faith? He did. He said, Father Abraham, send him back there to tell them that there's a Savior that can be found. And they don't have to come here. Look at it again. They, Father Abraham, one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. There's only one that's ever done that, the Lord Jesus Christ that rose from the dead. And look, there's people praying in right now in heaven that are believers because they know, and it's too late, but they know that Jesus died, lived a sinless life they can't live, died in their place, paid for their sins, and rose the third day according to the Scriptures, and now he sits on the right hand of the Father. And if you ever die and go to hell, you'll know that. And that man made a profession of faith. If somebody rose from the dead and went and told them, they would be saved. Well, it's kind of late, buddy, to be talking about that, ain't it? You never, some of you Christians, you never talk about being saved. You never even mention it to anybody. You go to work, people at work don't even know you're a Christian, and don't even know you go to church, and those people are going to die and go to hell because you never professed that Jesus was Lord and you believed on Him, that He rose from the dead to save you from your sins. And so here's a place of faith in hell. There's no unbelievers in hell. All of them are now believers. People say, well, I don't believe all that stuff. Won't be one second in hell, you'll be a believer already. Amen? That's just a bunch of fairy tales. Yeah, you wake up in hell, you won't think it's a fairy tale anymore. Amen? There is a real and a literal hell. And son, look up here at me. Look. Without Jesus Christ, whoever doesn't have Him goes to hell. Now, we don't like to talk about that. I don't like to talk about that. People I love. People I just like as friends. Could die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. It's a big wide space. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Can't nobody go over and get them out of hell. Well, can you imagine seeing your own children in hell and you're in heaven? Wouldn't you like to just dive down there and get them out? Can't happen. Your own mother, your own father, your own friend. He said, there's a great gulf. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, I don't care what that man with a long black gown and a white collar on says, and they call him father. He's never been married nor had children. I don't care what he says. There's no getting out of hell. There's no praying to the saints to get out of hell. There's no paying the Pope to get you out of hell. There's no paying the preacher or the church to get you out of hell. Hell is everlasting, eternal separation. It will never be fixed. That's why we sing, shall the circle be unbroken. There's no getting out. This man never got out. He never was delivered from hell. And he's there right now, Brother Billy. You know what he's praying? Preach it, preacher, every preacher on planet Earth. He's praying and hollering and screaming that that preacher, that pastor, that evangelist, that Christian will witness and share the Word of God, whatever it might be, whoever it might be, that they won't have to come to that awful place called hell. And we that call ourselves Christians on Sunday, we decide to go to the beach instead. We that call ourselves Christians, we go to work and just listen to the old dirty joke. We might not tell one, but we'll just stand around. We that say our Christians, we don't teach our children like we ought to about the Word of God. We that say we're Christians, we don't always live like we ought to as a living example of the power of the Word of God. Do we really believe there's a hell? If I get talking about it, I know some people in hell. And that hurts. Love, I know for a fact that if they died without asking the Lord to forgive them of their sins and save them, they died and went to hell. And far as I know, they did not do that. You say, well, you don't know, preacher. They might have said it there at the end. Today's the day of salvation. You can't just put it off and do it anytime you want to. Jesus said, except the Spirit draw you, no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. And people put it off, and they laugh at it, and they make fun of it, and they mock it, and then they get on a deathbed in the hospital, and they want the preacher to come up there and throw a little holy water on them and say a little prayer and get them saved. Well, I've got news for you. You have to get saved when He's calling, or you won't get saved. He didn't have to call you the first time. And He don't have to wait around for 40 years for you to die of cancer for Him to call you again. He can call you one time, quit if He wants to. Thank God He called me for 3 years. Amen. He wouldn't leave me alone. 3 years I lost sleep. For 3 years I had nightmares. For 3 years I felt like a dirty, rotten, low-down sinner that ought to go to hell. For 3 years. And he kept calling, he kept calling. And on that last day when I was standing in that church and knew I wasn't even worth being in church, and I stood there and I felt in my heart, and I'd never heard anybody say this, by the way, but I felt in my heart that the Lord was saying, this is it. This is it. I'm not calling you anymore. I've given you grace. Today is the day of salvation. Be saved or don't be saved, but this is it. And I could have put it off and waited till the day I died, knowing how to be saved, and try to get in. And he could have. And the Bible says he'll turn his back on me. And he could have turned his back on me. And I'd have died and went to hell. Now you listen to me. None of us is worth going to heaven. None of us is worthy. None of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the way, since you've been saved, you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. There ain't no angel wings in here. There's no halos in here. You're not floating on some little old cloud around here. We've all sinned. Even since we've been saved, we're still not worthy of going to heaven. We still ought to go to hell. If we got what we deserve since we've been saved, we'd go to hell. We've all fallen and gotten up and fallen and gotten up. And it's just the grace of God and the mercy of God that He keeps us. But now we've got to look at our children. But now we've got to look at our grandchildren. But now we've got to look at our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and our fathers and our aunts and our uncles. And we got to think, boy, if they die, are they going to the awful place called hell? So now we've got to sacrifice what we want. And now we've got to do things to try to get them to see Christ in us and to see what He did for us so they might want what He gave us. And so now we take them to church. And now we tell them the Bible stories. And now we encourage them to do right. And now we try to make it to where they can be saved. Wish somebody told me about it when I was 10 years old. Sure would have saved me a lot of heartache. I wish somebody told me about it when I was 12 years old. I knew people that went to church, but nobody ever told me. And then I wonder, how many friends did I have like that, that they wish they knew the way and nobody ever told them the way? I've told y'all this story before. I'll tell it again. It fits right here. We tried to start a little church in Lancaster. Rented a liquor store. I was young. I was about 25, probably going to Bible college at night. And this old boy said, why don't we start a church in Lancaster? I said, well, good. I'm from Lancaster, and I don't know any Christians in Lancaster. We'll just go win them all. So we went down there and rented a liquor store. And we painted over those red dots. And every week or two, we'd have to paint them again. They'd bleed back through. We didn't even have the money to buy curtains to put on. It had big store windows. It was right on the street. Had big store windows on the front, you know. We didn't have money. Some Free Will Baptist church member rode one by one day and gave us some curtains to put on. We didn't know what we was doing. We just wanted to keep people out of hell, that's all. And I went to all my old friends, and most of them, and I'd tell them how I got saved. And they'd say, well, I've heard all that before. Or some of them would say, well, I'm already a Christian. I said, well, you never told me. And we'd go door to door on the mill hill and witness to people. We got a few saved. We got a few saved. And the name of the church was Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I'd knock on the door. I'd say, I'm from, and here I am 25 years old. 26, I don't know. And I said, I'm Pastor Ron Roddy from Tabernacle. And I'm sure those older people looked at me and laughed. And people say, well, where is that at? I said, it's down here on Midway. That's where all the drunks hung out on Midway. Midway? There's a church on Midway? I said, yeah. The old liquor store, on top of it said the Sugar Shack. Oh, I know where the Sugar Shack is. And I'd say, well, maybe we'll rename the church, Sugar Shack Baptist Church. Didn't many come? We'd have 12 or 15. We got a few saved. But every Saturday I'd go visit. This guy would go visiting with me every Saturday. And he did that for about 3 weeks and then disappeared. He lived in Indian Trail. I saw him one other time years later, but I didn't know where he went. He didn't tell me nothing. So now I'm by myself. My wife's taking care of the kids. We'd take the kids down there on Sunday, and we didn't have the money or the time to travel back and forth, so she'd take a crock pot, and we'd eat lunch on Sunday dinner there in the old church. And we'd have church Sunday night. I worked her, boy. I worked my wife. And I'd go out by myself. And every Saturday, I'd go down the Great Falls Highway right before you cross the Bear Creek Bridge and enter the city limits of Lancaster. And the Holy Spirit tell me to turn right there into the old Poovy Farm neighborhood, the Poovy Farm neighborhood. And I'd make an excuse. Every week, I'd make an excuse. And every week, the Holy Spirit, in my mind, I knew what He was saying. Go see Doug. Go see Doug. Every Saturday, I'd ride by that road. He'd go see Doug. And Doug was the cool guy in school, and Doug was the first one to bring pot, and he was the first one to have LSD, and he was the first one to take you and do crazy, stupid stuff. You know, Doug was the cool guy, and he intimidated me. And every Saturday, I'd say, "No, Lord, I can't do it this Saturday. I'll go next Saturday," and I'd go visit somebody else. And the next Saturday, I'd ride by, and the Holy Spirit say, "Go see Doug." And I said, "I'll get him next week, Lord. I'm gonna go see this fellow over here." And I did that for a year, and then about after a year, somebody come in and said, "You hear about Doug?" He was bedridden, by the way, from a drunken driving car accident, and people take him drugs, lay it in the bed. And somebody said, "You hear about Doug? He died." I said, "No, he didn't." They said, "Yeah, he died." I said, no, Doug can't die. I hadn't had a chance to talk to him." They say, "Doug's dead." You know what the Holy Spirit said? "Boy, you're in trouble." I don't know if Doug got saved or not before he died, but I know this. I didn't tell him how to be saved. And I didn't go see him. And if he's in hell, which that's the best I would know, if he's in hell, Brother Ron, right now, you know what he's doing? Preach it, Brother Ron. Tell him about this place. And I know other people who went to hell, not because I didn't tell them, but and they're praying, right? And some of y'all, you know people that died and went to hell. And it's hard to admit, and it's hard to talk about. We don't want to say it out loud, do we? But if hell's real, and heaven's real, and God is true, and the Bible's inerrant, then they went to hell. And since I've been saved, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't know anybody since I've been saved. And I've had people do me wrong. I've had people hurt me, lie on me, exaggerate, and do everything else. But I wouldn't want them to go to hell. I've had people hurt my family, but I wouldn't want them to go to hell. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you don't want anybody to go to hell. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And even when you want to hate somebody, you can't. Now, you can dislike them. Jesus disliked some people. He took a whip and cleaned house one time with a whip. But He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Once a week, three times if you're real faithful to church, I get to share the Word of God. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but I know a lot about this book. I really do. And that's not bragging. I'm thankful. And there was a time I didn't know one Bible verse. The day I got saved, I didn't even know John 3:16. But I knew there was a hell. I knew if God was just, then I should go to hell, because I knew I shouldn't be in heaven. And that day, March 5th, 1978, I got honest with God, and I stepped out, and I come down that aisle knowing I ought to go to hell. And I didn't know what they was going to ask me to do, Brother Ron. I didn't know. I didn't know what I had to do. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. And that man, hey, he hugged my neck, said they'd been praying for me 3 years, put me in a room. And that man, Wayne Henson, took the Bible, and simply as ABC, he said, "You admit you're a sinner, the Bible says so." He read me the verse. I said, "Amen." You wouldn't have no problem. You didn't have to read the verse. I knew that. He said, "Well, do you believe if you die right now you're going to heaven?" I said, "No, if there's a God in heaven and there's a hell, I'll go to hell." He said, well, you want to go to heaven? I said, yeah. He said, well, all you got to do is this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it all on Him. If you believe on Him and then turn to Him and turn from everything else and call on Him, He'll save you and give you a home in heaven. And I did, and he did, and I knew it without knowing one Bible verse when I got up, I was saved. Because he put the peace of God in my heart. Now, since I've been a Christian, you think I deserve to go to heaven. I sure don't. And you don't either. It don't take but one sin to be as qualified as a sinner, and we've all done that. We can't even keep the first commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength. We don't even do that. So you don't have to go any farther. Well, I ain't never killed nobody. Go back to the first one. Well, I ain't never committed adultery. Go back to the first one. Hey, well, I ain't never... No, go back to the first one. We can't make it back past the first one. The law is written as a schoolmaster to teach us that we've sinned. And even if you don't understand the first one, you ain't going to get far before you realize that you are a sinner. And since you've been saved, by the way, we can take those same Ten Commandments, and if you could be condemned, which you can't after you get saved, He keeps you. But if you could be condemned, you would be. By those same ten. And it won't take but one of them. I used to think God had a balance up there, you know, and He was going to put my good works on up against my bad works, and I'd never robbed a bank, and I'd never raped anybody, and I'd never done terrible things like some had. And the Bible says, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. You compare yourself to Jesus Christ, see how far you get. Amen. And I thought He would, boy, I'd get up there and He'd throw some of my good works, you know, over here, and it'd go way down, you know, I'm doing good. And He'd throw some more, go way down, oh boy, I'm doing good. But then when I got thinking about the bad that He'd pour on there, that thing just went, psh, guilty. We're guilty. And I thank God He saved me. And I thank God He keeps me. And if He hadn't saved me, I probably wouldn't be married. And if He hadn't saved me, I would be a slave to addictions. I know I would. That's where I come from. If He hadn't saved me, I'd probably be dead, just like all my old friends. I'd probably be dead, just like they are. And if He hadn't saved me, I'd be in hell. But if He didn't keep me, if He didn't keep me saved, I'd still be in hell. Now, I'm going to ask the question, we'll close. Do you really believe in hell? Do you believe your child could go to hell? Do you believe your grandchildren could go to hell? Do you believe your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa could go to hell? Listen, they can. And they will without Jesus Christ. Our job is to get them to Him, not to us. My grandkids think I'm wonderful. They don't know how wrong they are. They think I'm wonderful. Well, I went to the house last night, and I sat in the kitchen floor, and Gloria, who I hadn't seen as much as others, you know, she come over there with that beautiful red hair. She come walking over there, and she sat down on my leg, and then my legs was kind of open, and she sat between my legs, and she just sitting there, and I'm thinking, this is wonderful. And then another one comes over there, and he sits there. And then another one comes over, and he sits there. And Anna Marie, who couldn't get there, she comes over and stands beside me. And listen, I know that wasn't heaven, but it sure was close. And I'll do anything to get them to heaven. I'll give, I'll go. And listen, I've got friends I don't want to go to hell. I got other family members I don't want to go to hell. I got three beautiful daughters. I got a pretty handsome son-in-law. Amen. Now, if we don't help them, and we don't encourage them, and we don't love them, and we don't tell them, and we don't get them in church, who else is going to do it? The world ain't going to take them to church. It's going to take them to hell. The world's going to teach them to bite each other and to hate each other and to hurt each other. But boy, if we can just get the love of God in their hearts like He put it in our hearts. Do you really believe in hell? with all my heart, I do. And I don't like to preach on it. And I don't like to talk about it. But we've got to. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And you're a preacher. Everywhere you go, you're preaching something. At home, you're a preacher. You women say, women, we're Baptists. We don't believe women can be pastors. But you know, a woman's the biggest preacher at the house most of the time. Keep it up, ladies. You're doing a good job. And then men, when you get on the job, you're the preacher down there. Ain't my job. Well, it's your job to be Christ-like and let them see Christ in you to hope and glory. I believe in that. It don't scare me for me. It scares me for others. Do you believe in hell? Get your hymn book. Let's stand. 385. 385. We'll go home. Now some of you might.